Okay.
And we give you Denise.
Hi, everybody. My name is Denise, and I am an addict. Is everyone having a good time?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. I just want to start off by saying, how many of y'all in service? This should be the whole room, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And that's what's when service comes in. Again, my name is Denise, and I'm an addict. And I've been here for a little over 15 years. And since being in here, I've been in service for maybe about 13 years of that 15 years. And it has truly grounded me in Narcotics Anonymous. I got here by way of jail. And I know a lot of y'all have gotten here the same way. A lot of y'all have gone to jail, went home, went back to jail. Well, I went to jail and I spent 6 months in jail. 5 months. Worst 5 months of my entire life. And I told myself if I ever got out of jail, I was never going back. Within those 5 months that I was in jail, I seen people leave and come right back the next week. I was like, dang, Lord, if I could ever get out of here. You know, and I had a petty charge. You know, my charge was attempt to distribute and a bench warrant. And I got the bench warrant because when I got the attempt to distribute, I didn't go back to court. You know, I went and stayed in central cell overnight, left, went back and did what I'd always do, get high. And I like to tell y'all that I was the best that ever did it. When it came to getting high and maintaining on the streets. Because I sold a lot of drugs, but I never made any money. Never. You know, I could never keep anything of value. I couldn't wear a watch because I had to sell it. So, I always wondered, well, why do I say I was the best that ever did it? You know, when I came in here, I realized a lot of those insane things that I was doing out in the streets. I was like, dang, how did I survive? You know, I can remember one time there was a young lady who I grew up with, and she seen me in a neighborhood, and she say, well, Denise, ain't you ready for some help? Said, I don't need no help. You know, I'm doing what I want to do. See, I was the addict that was caught up in the grips of my addiction. I had two sisters to die as a direct result of this disease. But I identified out because they shot dope and I didn't. I smoked coke. I ain't smoked crack. Okay? There was a difference. There was truly a difference for me.
No, that's okay.
I'm sorry. And people would call me crackheads, right? I said, I ain't no damn crackhead. I'm a coke connoisseur. You know? Because I don't smoke crack. You know, bottom line, y'all, I smoked whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I started, you know, I was like, I might have been about 20, 21 years old when I started smoking crack. And that's a lot, because I came in here at 33. So y'all know I've been out there for almost over 10 years smoking crack. Some people don't last 6 months. But I was out there that long. You know, and the more I come in here and the more I think back, I'll be like, damn. But today I know that there was a God truly watching over me. Because I've walked in some places that I probably should have never came out of. I walked through woods 3 o'clock in the morning. But I made it safely. You know, I can remember one time, and I think I was really getting tired. And I had been up all night, and I was walking, and I was singing that song, "I'm coming up on the rough side over the mountain." And I said, "Damn." But that did not stop me. What stopped me was going to jail again. Now, some of y'all can go to jail, come out, and be all right. Some of y'all can go to jail, spend years, and be all right. I spent 5 months in jail. And I got to tell you, out of them 5 months, I went back and forth to central cell for about 12 times. And I said, is this part of the punishment? Because they wake you up at the butt crack of dawn, handcuff you, shackle you, they sit you in a cold cell and give you peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all day long. And then you go sit at the court and never see the judge. And they say, come back. That happened about 12 times. And when I finally got to see the judge, I smiled. And I just sat there and I listened to everything he said. And I'll never forget what he said, because I was there because I wanted to go to treatment. So he told me, he said, here's what the deal is. I'm going to sentence you to a 6-month treatment program. I had 2 charges that carried 3 to 9. And he said if I did not complete that 6-month program, I was going to do both charges consecutively. So I said, you know, I asked the judge, I asked my lawyer, what was that? He said, well, when you do 1 3-9, you got to do the other 3-9. I said, okay, I'm doing 6-month program. And that was my goal, to do that 6-month program, because I'm telling y'all, I did not want to go back to jail. And in the process of completing that 6-month program, I got introduced to this program. And when I got introduced to this program, I started seeing people in this program that I had used with that were not as worse off as I was, but they were in this program. See, they said this program is about observation. And when I seen the people that were here in this program that I thought shouldn't have been in this program, I said, well, maybe this is where I need to be. You know what I'm saying? So it was time for me to leave jail and go to the treatment center because they was not going to take the handcuffs and shackles off of me until I got accepted into the treatment program. And I prayed all the way. And I don't know where I'm from. I went to Carrick Hall. And it's a long walkway. And I had on blue jumpsuit. My hands were shackled and my hands were handcuffed and my legs were shackled. And I was walking up the street and people was looking out the window at me. Y'all know what? I didn't care. Because I did not have to spend another night in D.C. jail. So when I got there, I was still praying. I was praying. I said, Lord, I hope these people let me come into this program. Please let me come in here. And I got accepted. Now, when I got into this program, because I had never been introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in my entire addiction. And when I was in jail, I would hear them announce NA meetings, and I never asked what it was. I was green to what NA meetings was, so I never went. So when I got into the treatment program, you know, and I heard people stand up and say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an addict. I said, well, I guess I am an addict. And at that point, I accepted the fact that I had a problem and I needed to do something different. So I completed it was a 30-day program. They brought meetings to the program, and it was time to go. So while I was attending those meetings, they were trying to tell us, don't go back to where you came from, because you're doomed to repeat yourself. And I was like, uh-oh, I got to go back home. Well, home is where I have brothers running in and out the house using, selling drugs on the front porch. How was I going to stay clean? So I raised my hand and I told them that. They said, well, go upstairs and talk to the counselor. They'll put you in transitional. Best suggestion I ever could have took. And that's what I did, and that's how I started my journey in Narcotics Anonymous. I went to treatment. I went to transitional. And when it was time for me to leave transitional, you know, I had gotten comfortable with being around people who was just like me and, you know, being all right with allowing them to feed me, put a roof over my head. They said, well, you can't stay here no longer. I said, oh, it's time to go. And mind you, I hadn't worked in like 9 years. So I had to go get a job so that I can move into a recovery house. I went out and I got a 30-day temporary job. And when it was time to go, I was really, really, really scared. Fear had really set in because it was time for me to be on my own one more time. And I was talking to this lady. She said, all you need is just a little bit of faith. That's all you need. You know, and I went out, and I went out on that faith. I moved into a recovery house where I had to pay rent. The job, it went out. I was jobless again. I started going to meetings more. I started sharing in the meetings how I had to have a job because I got to pay rent. You know, and it was getting like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I hadn't found a job yet. They say, keep trying. And I finally got a job. I got one of them third period jobs they tell us we can get. And that job paid the rent. I ate. I didn't want for anything. It even fulfilled some of my needs. And from that point on, that's where my journey started. I started setting goals in this program. And what I have found out is that my goals and the fear that I have for achieving kind of clashed. So the one thing that I have always wanted to do when I first came in Narcotics Anonymous was to become a lady, wear nice clothes, go to one of them 9-to-5 jobs, you know, but I had to go to school for that. So that was my first goal. I went to school. I learned how to use computers. I got the job. And in between there, I started, you know, the relationship thing, you know. I kind of started to become a productive member of society. And still, there was fear of wanting to do more, but just scared to do it. You know, I got into a relationship with somebody I had knew way back when, and we had been knowing each other for years, and I got in a relationship with him, and, you know, that was going the way it was going. We got married, we got divorced, we got back together, we've been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And through all this back and forth, we developed a lot of stuff, you know. And most of the strength came from here because of my lack of fear. That's one of the defects that I had that kind of stayed with me throughout the years that I had been here. Fear of succeeding. Scared that if I go out on a limb, I might fall. That was my biggest, biggest, biggest defect. And it still is in a way. Together, we achieved a lot of things, but it was more of his, you know, let's do it. And I'm like, no, you know, because, you know, I didn't want to be broke, and I didn't want to do all that, you know. But as I continue to come back and continue to do step work, y'all, it got better. You know, I've been in and out of this relationship, you know. Those are his defects that I can't, but I got to tell you that based on my decision, I get what I get, and I do what I do. Today, I own up to whatever decision it is I make and be all right with it. But what I do is I try to get better. What I have found out is that my acceptance level has gotten a lot better. My tolerance for accepting things that I don't have to accept has gotten a lot better. And that fear that I'm telling y'all about has gotten a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Because today, if I think it, if I want it, I go get it. It ain't no, you ain't gonna be able to do it. It's just do the damn thing. And that's what I found out that I can do in this program. One of the other things that I had, one of the defects that I had started to develop was a resentment. And I told myself, if I ever develop a resentment, I don't know what I may do, because they always say resentment is the number one thing that you don't ever want to have in this program. And I've experienced it, and I know why. Because of how it makes you react and what it makes you do, it just takes you outside of your character. And I'm not that type of person. At least I don't try to be. You know, so I had started to develop this resentment against, you know, first it was against my ex-husband. And I started thinking all these things that I could do to him. You know, I started sabotaging shit. You know, and it made me feel so bad. It really did. One day I woke up, I said, Denise, this is not you. What I had to realize and what I had to accept is that either you're going to continue to like him from a distance or don't tolerate him at all. Because, again, I told you I had overcome that fear of succeeding. You know, and through this whole process of my recovery, I pay my bills on time, I go to work, I pay my mortgage. These are things that I do, you know, and I learn from the people in Narcotics Anonymous, because I had people come in here share about how they done ran up their credit cards and, you know, they owe this person, they filed in bankruptcy, they doing this. I don't want to do that, because, again, I want to achieve, and I want a lot of things in life. You know, I'm getting ready to open my own business. And that was one of my biggest fears. And that was one of the fears I overcame. Again, the fear of succeeding. What if I fail? No, it's not what if you fail. Just do it. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. And I do. And, you know, I do the same thing with service. And I'm going to tell you, service has helped me mentally, physically, and it's helped me to deal with you people. Now, I don't mean to say you people, but us, okay? It's helped me to deal with everyone. What I have found out is everybody is not the same. We don't all think alike. And what I get in trouble is, I get in trouble because I think my way is the right way. And when you don't do it my way, there's a problem. So what I have learned, and I've learned it this weekend, I got to tell y'all that, I did. You know, I have had to learn to get out of the way and allow other people to feel and do what they think. That's hard. It's hard for me. I don't, you know, if you have been involved in service like I have, it's hard. But y'all know what? It's all right. It is truly all right. You know, I've talked about the fear, and I've talked about the little, or hit on a little resentment, because I'm not a person who holds resentments against anyone. At least I try. And you know what? I got to say this. I think I have a resentment against someone else, but I don't have it until I see him. Is that so? I mean, you know, can I? That's a resentment? Okay, I need to work on that. Okay. You know, okay. You know, and one, you know, now I'm gonna go to my shortcomings. One shortcoming that I have, and that's learning how to let go. That is a very big one. And as soon as I think I've learned how to do it, something come in front of it, and I'm right back to where I started from. Because what I have found out is letting go is much easier than holding on, believe it or not. Especially if you're holding on to something that ain't good for you. I have found out that letting go has given me a lot of peace and serene. The peace that I've always been looking for. The peace that I've always known I've had inside of me. I'm a very nice person. Just ask anybody. But I do my best, though, because I gotta tell y'all, Narcotics Anonymous has truly, truly, truly given me back the life that I never thought I had. Because I grew up 9 kids in the family, projects, you know, dropped out of school. I never got a taste of this life. But it wasn't until I came into Narcotics Anonymous and found out that this was, wow, what? I can have anything I want in this program as long as I don't use. And that means continuing to do step work on me. Not nobody else. Continuing to do step work on me. And it helps me to relate. You know, because before I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I couldn't relate to people. All I knew is, you got half. You want to get high? You know, let's go do this, let's go do that. You know, I didn't know anything else. I had to come in here and unlearn all that stuff and relearn, and I'm still in the learning process. Still in the learning progress. Process. But I remain open, y'all. Sometimes I'm closed. You know, my ex-husband said, sometimes you need to just learn to listen to people sometimes. Stop trying to get your point across. That's true. Because I'm like, no, what you say don't mean nothing. It's what I said, but that's not true all the time. It's not true all the time. And I'm learning that. And I know I'll get better with that. As long as I continue to come in here and be a member of this program, my life is going to continue to get better. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Okay, we'd like to thank Denise for sharing her experience. Strength and Hope, one step, 6 and 7. And our second speaker is Jackie.
Pump it up, pump it up. Put a little humor into it. I'm Jackie and I'm an addict. And I would like to thank South Potomac and because they're putting on the convention this year for asking me to come out and share my experience, Strength and Hope, on steps 6 and 7. And six is telling us that we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And I did not just come in here, on the sixth step. But right here in a passage coming from It Works How and Why, It's telling us that although some of us have not understood the critical importance of the sixth and seventh steps, they are essential actions that must be taken if we expect to make any significant and lasting changes in our lives. We cannot simply say, "Yes, I'm ready, God, please remove my defects and go on to step eight." Don't work like that. And they said, well, that was my thing. If we gloss over the sixth and seventh step and go on to make our amends, we will only wind up owing more amends by repeating the same destructive patterns as before. And they said the lifelong process of the sixth step is just that, a process. And I fall short. I'm not perfect. And that's what I like about the steps, too. But I thought when I first got in here, I stopped using, and everything was supposed to be hunky-dory, and the life, the family, and everybody was just going to change, and we was going to be all right, you know. My home group used to be in South Potomac, the closed Sunday group, and we used to meet and recover our asses off every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Steps and traditions. But since then, I've moved on, and that's through the process, to Tri-County, the Tri-County area. And now my home group is the Leonardtown Beginners Meeting, and they are recovering their asses off along with me. Now. Okay. So I did not come in here brimming with love, honesty, open-mindedness, and I was in a lot of denial. And I came in here with a lot of resentments, anger, and jealousy. And that was directed toward the husband. I did not use because of him, but a lot of the things that happened in my life, it was where I based it on, I'll show him, or I do this, so that I wouldn't feel a lot of times. But I used drugs because I wanted to use drugs. And in going into using the drugs, what they was really doing was covering up the inadequacies that I always was feeling, the low self-esteem, the no self-worth, fear. And what I've learned that fear, I'm a fear-based person. And then y'all helped me with the false evidence appearing real. But just to let you know how I got here, I did not come in here through treatment. And I came in here really helping the husband out because he was the one who had the problem. And if he could just stop using drugs, we could probably sell them the way that people used to tell him. If he just straighten his life up and go in treatment, you could come out and sell and you wouldn't be using your product. That sounded good to me. So, but it didn't happen like that. He went into treatment umpteen times. But to look at him and to say that the program worked, he was not a good example. But when he called me up from treatment on this umpteenth time, and he said, "Jackie, I don't want to use no more. It's something that has happened to me while I was in here, and I surrendered. I didn't know these type of terms, and I'm powerless, you know." And I was hearing he was gearing me up for these type of words, but my brothers had told me, "Don't let him back in the house," because all he did, he went in treatment so that he could come back into the house, because I had put him out. He was living in the woods. So I had put him out the house. And they said he's just trying to get back in, so there go another con. And what had happened, he came out and he asked me to, in fact, over the telephone while he was still in treatment, and he had had this awakening and all of this stuff that he was talking about, to take the journey with him. And I'm like, "A journey? I don't know." And I was real apprehensive about what he was asking me. And he came out, But I was resentful, y'all, because of past things that had happened in our life. But again, he'll go into treatment. He'll come out. We'll be able to use better drugs. You know, it wouldn't take so much for him this time, right? And I could do my thing. But when he came out, he was talking about going to meetings. I was still on this side, going to hang with my family, and my family was still using, drinking, and doing their thing, and it was a cookout that day. He came out of treatment, but I picked him up from treatment. We had a hoop. It wasn't even a hoop D no more. And I picked him up. I had a 24-ounce Red Bull in between my legs. And I got to that treatment facility to pick him up from his 28-day program, and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great. I got my man between my legs, you know." So I was putting him through pure hell from the day he stepped out of that treatment facility, and I was the one who had to pick him up. He had stole a TV set from my daughter. And I was determined, because it's usually, and y'all, it was just, I was just being a little demon. And had he went back into that environment, I knew he would have picked back up and we would have went back off into the sunset and using again. So after I got my little beer in me, I started saying, "You know, you're going to have to go get that TV out the pawn shop, right?" And he said, "Oh, no, Jackie, I'm powerless." I said, "Powerless? I don't want no weak-ass man no more." You know, I was calling him all. I mean, really ridiculing this man. And but he didn't go. He didn't go back down on the strip to pick that TV set up. And so what happened, the next journey was to go to the cookout of hell, where they was drinking and smoking and doing everything. He didn't pick up. I saw him over in the dirt. He was writing something in the dirt with a stick. And he might have been saying, "This crazy-ass woman got me in here. What was he writing? I don't know." But we made it out of that. So by that time, we made it over to a 6 o'clock meeting. And they still meet. They don't meet at D.C. General anymore, but they still meet. And we made it over there. And I was so devious. I was so defiant. I was in the meetings picking holes in all of y'all's stories, drunk, because I still was drinking my little 24s. He was still hanging with me. But he kept saying, "Jackie, I got to go to this meeting. I have to go to the meeting. You have to take me to the meeting." So we went on over to the meeting. I was sitting in that meeting, and what had happened, I started picking holes in y'all's story and telling. And while y'all were sharing, I was like, "Yeah, all y'all need to go home and make amends to your family up here talking all good, you know." So deeply rooted stuff. And all of a sudden, I jumped up out the meeting. I disturbed the meeting. I said, "All y'all lying." And I ran out the meeting, right? And when I got outside, I just finished off what I had in the car, and that was that beer. And so I started seeing y'all loving this man. And I'm like, "Y'all don't know what this man did to me in my personal life. How y'all going to be up here liking him?" So when I was really, truly coming around, because I was going to the meetings with him. And I think I may have did 90 meetings with him, but I was not finished with my beer. For whatever reason, my higher power managed to let me leave the street drugs alone. And so I was no longer shooting dope or smoking crack. But y'all kept talking about alcohol was a drug. I was like, "How can alcohol be a drug? And you're selling it on every street corner." And what had happened, he got a sponsor. So I'm still on the outside looking in as to his process and his progression in this program. And he was happy. And I'm like, "How can you be happy and you don't have a decent pair of tennis shoes on your feet?" He was happy. It was like a peaceful happiness, and it was nothing material that he had to make him happy. And I was watching him. I watched him, and I had not quite surrendered, but he got the sponsor. And so through the process of him having the sponsor, I started using his sponsor. And I was dumping on his sponsor about if my husband could just get a job and he do this and he do that, our life would get better, you know. So based on the information I was giving the sponsor directed me to Al-Anon. So that's where I went to Al-Anon, and through Al-Anon, they told me to try for 6 weeks. I did the 6 weeks, and they said, you may not like it, you know, but through Al-Anon is where I surrendered. And in surrendering, it was this lady in there, and she was telling her story about her husband and the type of, I identified with her feelings. And her feelings was, how can you love a low-down, dirty dog? Don't y'all know what he did to me? And all I want to do is hang him up and whip him. I said, I can identify. You know, I can identify. So those were the feelings. And these feelings came about my gut, off of my shoulders. And I was able to come back into the rooms this time with him and surrender. And not just did I sit down to surrender, I stood up, I raised my hand, said, I'm Jackie and I'm an addict. And my process started. So I got a sponsor. So through that sponsor, I wanted to do step work. Because y'all was talking, the cliches was going on, and you were talking about a dressed up garbage can, and you need to do some house cleaning. And I think maybe with 60, 90 days, I went to my sponsor to ask her, let's start the step work. I want to do a full step. And I tried to tell her my story in about 15 to 20 minutes, because she was going somewhere to lead a meeting, and I was trying to get my story in because she needed to know about me. So what she did, she tapped me on my hand, and she said, Jackie, you belong. You all right. You're going to be all right. Just keep coming back, you know. So I wasn't able to tell her my story that night. But as the step work continued on, I found that higher power. And I could remember dependent and being dependent on the substance. The substance would go, because now I'm empty, so now I'm starting to depend more on a person. So, but people, y'all started disappointing me. Y'all started letting me down. You wasn't there when I was when I needed help. And at that time, I felt like I couldn't go back to sleep that night. The husband wouldn't talk to me. I had called a sponsor, and she was like, well, Jackie, you know, I have to get up in the morning and go to work. And it's pretty late. So that was my cue as to learn the principle of being able to have some hope that's coming from that step out and surrender. So now I got some hope and I need some faith. And what I had to do, because y'all always talked about prayer, so I had to start practicing some of the things that I heard y'all saying that will get you up out of situations. And what I did, I just simply got on my knees that night and I prayed to God, the God that I understood with a higher power. And I got on my knees and I asked the higher power to just take this chatter out of my head and let me go back to sleep, you know. And what I would do, well, through that process, I would go, they told me to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And this time I was doing the 90 meetings and not drinking the beer. The obsession and the compulsion for wanting to drink now, because I'm telling you, the miracle had really happened when I was no longer shooting dope and smoking crack. So now the obsession to use any mind or mood-altering chemicals was lifted from me. So now I'm up here, and it's being lifted, and I'm thinking about the faith, you know, and I can't be so dependent on you all. So now I have to be more God-centered than the self-centeredness, because that was going on too. And through that, you said, just be willing, you know, be willing to do something different. So my willingness was coming where I wanted to basically make some goals, because I was a working bum. I worked in the federal government. I think maybe by that time, evidently I must have had 17 years in the federal government. I had nothing to show for it. Now, I will keep the husband in action, I would make sure he had that package, and then that way we would have like a flip time where it was some get high money over here, and but you know all that kind of stuff. It really stopped working, and but all in all, I wasn't keeping him in action no more. So it was like an automatic pay raise now, and I could see my money. And the people at work started saying, "Oh, girl, you weighing your money now," you know. But these kind of subtle changes was coming. I started having the peace that I saw him having when he had got clean first, and he was peaceful. I couldn't press his buttons no more. And y'all, really, but for the grace of God, I am so grateful that God had put that hedge around us, that he did not go back and cop that television set on the strip, that he did not pick that beer up or smoke that joint at that cookout, that we made it out safe. Because the little demon was up in me that day. It was running real rampant. And through that process, just having that higher power, because now I'm trying to make me some goals, so now I have to have that faith. And then y'all was telling me about fear and faith. It don't work in the same category, so I got to choose sides, so to speak. So anyway, I done turned it over. I got this higher power, and I'm naming it, and I choose to call my higher power God, and it's personal. I have a personal higher power. But now, how willing am I to not just, okay, so my higher power can relieve the obsession and compulsion to use drugs from me, so now why can't I allow that higher power to continue to control my life and help me in the process? Because in the third step, it says a thorough third step is followed up by a fourth step. So now I did a personal inventory that I was asking for in the very beginning, so now I'm writing about my fear, my angers, and my resentments. And through that process, that was way before our new literature that came out. So, but through that process of my fear, anger, and resentments, my sponsor was able to sit down with me after I had made the appointments and kept them. And I asked her, and before I started on the fear, anger, and resentments, I prayed. I was very much in touch with my higher power now. So before I would write, I would always ask the higher power to guide me. And at that time, I was really only stuck on the serenity prayer. So through the serenity prayer, I would put that over the top of the page, and then I would go into the writing piece. And I wrote about the fear, anger, and resentment, and set the appointment up. But I asked my sponsor, I said, "How would I know that I'm ready to share?" She said, "You'll know because you'll be empty." And so after feeling like I had got everything out, I made the appointment, and I kept my appointments. I think I missed one, and I was feeling so bad and fearful, but it was a healthy fear now that I would go back to using if I don't share it now. And in the basic text, it talks about putting it in the drawer, and then it'll grow. In the exposure of the light, thank y'all. But it'll continue to grow. So I kept my appointments, and we sat down, and she, because when we were sitting down, I didn't know then that I would be, I wasn't being judged, but I trusted her, and what she was doing was jotting down what I was reading to her from my fourth step. And so when she was jotting things down with the pencil, after we had completed sharing that fifth step, she told me to go home, pray, and ask myself, have I been as thorough and as honest and with what I had just shared with her? And I went in a meditation form then, and I called her back, and I told her, yes, I was thorough and honest. And she gave me that sheet of paper, and she said, "Well, Jackie, basically look out for this, this, and that." And what was glaring in that fifth step was self-righteousness, a lot of resentment, low self-esteem, just to name a few. And jealousy was up in there, too, and insecurities. So she told me, she said, "Jackie, watch out for these. Because if they do come upon you," and she directed me to read the six steps so I would know what I'm reading. And she said, "Watch out for these." And I went on, and what was happening, my courage to defects was not coming at me the way in which she was telling me to be careful about. And what I was doing, my life was changing, and it was like this arch, a spiritual arch that I was trying to walk through, but I was so, it was so familiar on this side with being mean and nasty and just that, because the tongue was my weapon, and then I could say mean and nasty things, and that was my survival skills. And so it was easy to stay over here, but then it was real hard to come over to the spiritual side under that arch to get what was waiting for me from my higher power, from my creator. And one day I was headed into my home group, and somebody asked me, they said, "Jackie, how are you doing?" I said, "You know what, I don't know, because it seemed like these courage and defects just tear me up, and it's easy to be mean and nasty. It's hard to come over here and get over here where peace and love and understanding is at." So I was struggling, and they said, "Jackie, just keep coming back." And the self-righteous piece came out when I had called a sponsor up. I said, "You know what? You didn't do that six step right with me, right?" I said, "You didn't do the six step right with me." And we went back, we sat down, and we came in prayer. And she said, "Jackie, just be willing." It was so simple. She said, "Just be willing to want to do something different. Stop acting out on what you knew that could carry you and get you over." And it was so simple. So through that process of just being willing, the transformation was coming. The y'all started seeing the difference in me, and not for material stuff, but for a peace that I was having from within. I wasn't in so many debates. I was more understanding than to be worried about. You just got to understand what I'm saying, you know. So all these argumentative states was just relinquished from me. So I used to have like a step study group, and it was with sponsees. I don't really try to do that anymore. And one sponsee really had helped me to grow. And they say our defects will truly, if we want to be in relationships with people, I cannot continue to dwell into the anger, resentments, self-hatred, self-loathing, the judgment, self-righteousness. Because how can I really be effective if I'm trying to stay in the spiritual realm to become selfless for my higher power, but now I'm still in this judgmental state? So how can I be of service, of maximum use to my fellows if I'm going to be doing this? But anyway, we were at that group, and whatever was going on with that particular person, it could have been me too, but she jumped at me, and she said, "See, bitch, you a spiritual bitch, ain't you? You know?" And she said, "I'll whip your ass, and come on, you spiritual bitch, you know?" And I'm like, where did all of this come from? But my good friend John Ray used to say, "Okay, are you humble or are you scared?" You know? So all of this is going on, this struggle, you know, with should ego step up and, you know, show her that bitch word, you know, what I usually do to her, you know. So I held on, and there was a new baby in the room, and I just held on to her, and I was shaking, I was trembling, you know, but it was the spirit that was working in me. Because what she was trying to do was press my buttons so that she could prove that I wasn't. Did not allow it. It wasn't me. It was my higher power. The God that I have come in contact with that is using me to be of maximum use and service to my fellows. And sometimes it seems like I'm a sucker, a chump. But you know what? I ain't doing my work down here on earth for y'all. I'm doing it so that I can go up here, and when I get up there to wherever I'm supposed to be going, that my man will say, "Good work, my trusted servant. Come on and sit down by me." You know? So that's how I got to look at it, because I didn't come in here to be in fights. I didn't come in here to be debating. The literature basically tells the story. So what I just do is just try to turn it over, allow the God of my understanding to take care of things. And at first I was shaking, y'all. I was crying and saying I ain't going to be effective today. But I don't know. I know I freed myself and I got over some fear because I was going to go to the hotel. And I thought about Kevin. I said, Kevin probably say, where Jackie at? You know, she got scared, didn't she? You know? She didn't make it. But I just want to leave y'all with this, and it's coming from It Works How and Why, the seventh step, page 75, and it says, we are being changed. We've not only heard about the miracle of recovery, we are becoming living, breathing examples of what the power of the NA program can do. The spiritual life has been ceased to be a theory. We hear it in meetings. It is now becoming a tangible reality. We can see a miracle simply by looking in the mirror. The God of our understanding has taken us from spiritual unconscious, hopeless addicts to spiritually aware, recovering addicts geared to live. Although we've reached this point, the damage caused by our shortcomings needs to be addressed. Desiring continued recovery and freedom, we go on to step 8 and begin to make amends for the damage we've caused. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'm Jackie, and I'm an addict.